From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his third message in a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books of the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Gospel of Luke. The theme of Luke's Gospel may be stated as what Christ feels. Luke shows clearly that the Gospel is for Gentiles as well as Jews. A particular emphasis in Luke's account is Christ's reaching out in love to a variety of sinners, touching them with not only physical healing, but with deliverance from sin. Luke also reveals the self-righteous attitudes of those who denied their sinfulness and so forfeited the salvation which Christ could provide. In this final portion of the message, Dr. Cairn stresses the importance of a proper response to Luke's message. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Going Out with Joy. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 18. And of Zebulun, he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. The blessings of the tribes are ours, for we are the true Israel who worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Zebulun is to rejoice because Jehovah will bless his going out. We also see a promise for ourselves lying latent in this benediction. When we go out, we will look out for occasions of joy. We go out to travel, and the providence of God is our convoy. We go out to emigrate, and the Lord is with us both on land and sea. We go out as missionaries, and Jesus saith, Lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. We may go out day by day to our labor, and we may do so with pleasure, for God will be with us from morn till eve. A fear sometimes creeps over us when starting, for we know not what we may meet with. But this blessing may serve us right well as a word of good cheer. As we pack up for moving, let us put this verse into our traveling trunk. Let us drop it into our hearts and keep it there. Yea, let us lay it on our tongue to make us sing. Let us weigh anchor with a song, or jump into the carriage with a psalm. Let us belong to the rejoicing tribe, and in our every movement praise the Lord with joyful hearts.
Yes.
The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
earth. You trifle with the things of God, then you will not be saved. Then there are other people in this book that he didn't save. And they're the lovers of wealth and the lovers of the world. In chapter 12, we read of a rich fool. He lived for what he had. I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat and drink, and take your ease. Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He didn't see of the rich fool. Then we read in chapter 16 of the rich man. Lazarus lay at his gate. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, surrounded by every comfort of earth. He didn't perish because he was rich. He perished because he made his gold his God. The difference between the rich man and the saint is the rich man, and I think it was Thomas Brooks possibly put it this way, certainly one of those old Puritans, sounds to me like Brooks. But anyway, he said that the rich man makes gold his God. The gracious man, the saved man, makes God his gold. Therein is the difference. This rich man didn't get saved. The poor beggar got to heaven. Not because he was poor, but by grace. The rich man didn't. Then in chapter 18, we have perhaps the saddest of them all. We have the rich young ruler. Upright, moral, decent, clean living. He'd be an answer to every mother's prayer. But the Lord Jesus didn't save him. Why? One thing thou lackest. Get rid of your God of gold. No, Lord, anything but that. I'll keep the commandments. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But don't touch my God of gold. And Jesus didn't save him. There are people in Greenville today whom Christ will save. And there are others that he won't save. None of them saved is saved because of his merit. Every other one that's lost is lost because of his sin. I want to tell you, my friend, while there's hope here, there's also a warning. What should our response then be to the message of the Gospel of Luke? Christ receiveth sinful men. Take it seriously. He receives sinners. In other words, cast away the pride, cast away hope in yourself, give up boasting about who you are, what you've done, how much you've gained, how much you've accomplished. And take the sinner's place before Christ. You come as Mary Magdalene came. You come as those 10 lepers came. You come as the demoniac of Gadara came. You come as any of these sinners came, and you'll find it still true. Christ receiveth sinful men. But you trifle, or you act the Pharisee, or you hitch your destiny to the world and its wealth, and you'll find that that's the road that leads straight to hell. Take this message seriously. Listen, it's not just knowing the word that's going to save you. In this very gospel, the Lord Jesus emphasizes discipleship. He says, if you won't take up your cross, the original has the emphasis in it, your own cross. If you're not willing to forsake all for Christ, you can't have Christ at all. Take this message seriously. And then the other thing that we should do, and by way of response, is if we are saved, if we have taken it seriously, then carry its light to the neediest men and women on God's earth. And if we're going to do that, there's another, I'm only going to mention this, I certainly am not going to try and preach on it at all, but if we're going to carry that light of the gospel to the ends of the earth, then we're going to have to emulate the Christ of God Himself. This is a book that emphasizes Christ in the place of prayer. This is the man, Christ Jesus. And in this book of Luke, you find Him constantly in prayer. In this book of Luke, you find Him, as we have read this morning, anointed by the power of the Spirit. And I tell you, if we are going to carry the message of Christ crucified to a world that's lost, then we're going to need the anointing of the Spirit in power. And the only place we're going to get the anointing of the Spirit in power is on our knees before God. To pray and to remain praying until God gives us power. This is how the Lord finished the book, in fact, in chapter 24, verses 48 and 49. He says, "Ye are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You are my witnesses. God didn't save you to have you sit on a shelf and gather dust. God didn't save you just to give you an insurance policy to keep you out of hell. God saved you to make you His witness of these things. I mean, who could ever talk about the mighty liberating power of Christ breaking the bondage of demonic powers like the demoniac of Gadara? That's why he went home to his friends and he began to tell them what great things the Lord had done for him, because nobody could gainsay it. He had a testimony that nobody could possibly contradict. And it's true of every Christian. When God has done a great work for you, when Christ has made Himself precious to you by giving you the experience of salvation, then you are His witness of these things. Go and tell what you know. Go out and spread what you have known and felt and experienced of the grace of God in your own life. But to do it, listen, you need His power. Tarry until you're endued with power from on high. That's what the disciples were doing, and that's where Luke takes up the story as he commences in Acts chapter 1. There they were, and they were waiting on God. And that's what they were doing when the Holy Ghost finally came upon them. Then in the power of the Spirit, these witnesses went out, and they won the world for Christ. They blazed a trail across the nations, and they saw the gospel established in the hearts and homes of millions. Listen, the message of the gospel of Luke, Christ is the light of the Gentiles. Christ is the glory of Israel. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Take it seriously and then carry it to Jew and Gentile in the power of the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Just before we close, I reiterate what I've been saying. If you're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Has God spoken to you about your sin? Has God convicted you of your need? Has He brought you to an end of yourself? Has He got you to the place where confessing your sin, you're willing to turn from it to Christ? Then come with confidence, for Christ receiveth sinful men. Man, woman, or boy, or girl, come to Christ without delay. I wonder, are you saying, "Preacher, I am saved, but there hasn't been much of a witness. have lost out much in the place of prayer. And I don't have much experience of the power of God. This calls for a response from you too. Lord, make me the witness I ought to be. Teach me to pray as I ought to pray, and give me the power of the Holy Ghost to enable me to win the lost for Christ. And then go, in the strength of His promise, go and tell the lost of Christ. If I can help you in the things of God, if you'd like to be saved, if you'd like to know more of the things concerning Christ, come and have a word with me, and I'd be glad to open up the Scriptures with you. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. We thank Thee for a Savior for sinners. For, Lord, we feel ourselves to be real sinners. Lord, we thank Thee for a Savior who loves us, who died for us, who shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank Thee, our God, for a Savior who truly delivers. Oh, we pray that this Sabbath day Thou wilt bring the lost to Christ. Speak to every young man and woman, every boy and every girl, every older person. Lord, have a dealing with every soul. And God grant that this Lord's Day the lost will be brought to Jesus. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt give Thy people a witnessing spirit, a desire to be a teller forth of the glorious grace of Christ. And Lord, enable us to pray until we know that very great fullness of power of which the Savior spoke. Lord, answer prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.